Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and let's get rolling along. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a brand new blog posted. It was closer to this afternoon than this morning, but hey, it's up there. It's all set and ready for you to read, and I would love to get your comments on a couple of the questions I post over there. So, again, swing on over to sportstimeradio.com. Check that out. Of course, while you're there, you can hit the link and follow it right over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Go ahead and give that a like while you're over there. I mean, heck, you went all the way over there. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, you can find me out on Twitter as well. I am at Burketime. That's Burketime. So check out all that cool social media stuff for us. We greatly appreciate it. Oh, but let's see. What do we got going on? It looks like we've got a NASCAR race that is scheduled to start in about a half an hour. You know, NASCAR's doing the setup where they're running 7 races in 11 days to get their schedule caught back up. This is the second of these races. Now, it is at Darlington Speedway again, so the teams didn't have to go anywhere. They didn't have to transport the vehicles or anything like that. Tonight is the Toyota 500. And you know what's interesting is there's no qualifying and there's no practice for these drivers. So it makes the race very interesting. What they did for Sunday's race was they had a random draw to see who was going to start where. Then for this race, they inverted the top 20. So if you finish 20th, like Ryan Preece did on Sunday, you're the pole sitter for tonight's race. So he'll be starting on the pole, and then obviously Kevin Harvick, who won the race on Sunday, starts 20th. And then the rest of them, I believe the rest of the guys start where they finish from Sunday. So that means Ricky Stenhouse starts, what did they do? I think they award 38 starting positions, and the last two are generated another way. So Stenhouse heads back to the back there because he crashed on lap one. If you remember on Sunday, yeah, how about that? You do all that waiting to race and everything, and then all of a sudden you get one lap out of your return to racing. But yeah, they're originally they were going to try to start at 6:30 normally for what is Dan and mine's time here in the Central Time Zone, but they bumped it up an hour and a half because they're trying to beat some weather. They already postponed the Xfinity race, which was supposed to be, I believe, yesterday. They moved that to tomorrow. That's going to start, I think, at 11 or noon here tomorrow. So, yeah, they're doing what they can and, trying to get these races in. And, I mean, obviously, Sunday's worked out pretty well. I don't know if they're going to get $6.3 million to watch this race tonight, but you got to figure they'll get a pretty solid number. So Dan, are you going to remember to watch tonight?
Yeah, I should. I got to make one quick run out of the house in about an hour. But other than that, I got to hook up on those M95 masks or something. I don't know.
Oh, so you're going to run though? You're going to run. You're not going to take the car.
No, I'm going to take the car. It will be interesting.
Oh, you're exercising.
Yeah. Well, I should be. I started drinking pop again, so. it'll be interesting because, the, what do you call it? The the iRacing was kind of cool. You know, it was kind of cool, but, you know, I think after a couple laps, you're like, it's still a video game, you know. If I were actually doing it, you know, I think that would be really cool. But, you know, it was cool, but at the same time, you're like, okay, I've seen it. You know, on to the next one. I feel bad for my friends who keep saying, since there's no sports, I'm like, guys, NASCAR's back.
And now, you know, technically there is soccer. The, what is it, Bundesliga or whatever started up again as well. So if you're into that, you know, you can check that out. But, yeah, if I had the setup like those guys had to do the e-racing or i-racing or whatever they call it, I would race every hour of every day if I could with those frickin', you know, fantastic setups they have that look like you're either in an actual race car or a spaceship. So, you know, I would spend my life just being an iRacer.
Oh, yeah. 40 grand,
but
right?
Now, you know, what I did find interesting, and, you know, that we only had the one race, but you could notice this if you go back through the standings. Have you noticed that the guys that are really good at the iRacing don't generally do very well in the actual NASCAR race?
I guess I never put that together.
Yeah, because, like, you know, Timmy Hill is, like, the king of that iRacing, but he's rarely, if ever, a top 20 finisher in an actual NASCAR race. So I don't know if or how it translates, but, you know, it just hasn't worked out for the guy. And, you know, maybe it will down the line. But, yeah, as of now, he hasn't had a whole bunch of success at the highest level of NASCAR, which is, you know, regardless of what people think, very difficult to do.
Well, I mean, you don't really drive as much anymore, even if you were working. So, you know, regular people have issues just driving down a straight two-lane highway. So, you know, navigating.
Yeah, now, imagine doing it 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's one of the chuckles I always kind of get with this is, you know, because there are a bunch of people who, you know, and I mean, you can find them all over the place who don't consider NASCAR drivers athletes, and they're kind of like, well, they couldn't, you know, hit 100 mile an hour fastball. Not many people could, and that's why those people are in the major leagues, but that's a different story. Or, you know, they couldn't play in the NFL, or they couldn't play in the NHL or the NBA or whatever you want to call it. What they don't realize is put one of those players from that other league behind the wheel of a car and let's see how they do at 200 miles an hour. Do you really think they would have any success? Or, you know, once they got going, you know, once they hit top speed, they'd probably crash into the first turn, you know, the first turn they had to make.
Yeah, well, and I hate that, you know, they're not an athlete because they can't do that, but there's a reason why the crossovers don't work. You know, we can literally name on our hand the amount of dual athletes. You know, basically it goes down to Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders for baseball and football. I know there's a couple other, you know, I believe there's a few others, but at the end of the day, it's just those two. So you can sit there and throw that comparison. Yeah, but you can sit there and throw that comparison out, but in today's games, there really isn't a baseball player who's going to jump ship and, you know, play great in the NFL. You know, there's a reason why Colin Kaepernick has been, you know, was fighting so hard to kind of get a job back in the NFL. Was because I think it's more about the money. But I also think that he can't really, you know, he knows he doesn't have what it takes anymore to be a top of the line. You know, he definitely, I don't think he would be a Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke money pitcher, you know. So, it's not a knock on Kaepernick at all. But, you know, nobody can hop over to the league.
Out of all the dual sport athletes, Bo Jackson was the only one that was good at both sports.
Yeah.
You know, Deion Sanders had some skill at baseball, but he wasn't a very good hitter, and he probably wouldn't have made it to the majors except for the fact that his name was Deion Sanders. And, you know, Brian Jordan was, you know, another guy that he doesn't get a lot of mention.
Oh, yeah.
He was a better baseball player than Deion, but Deion was a much better football player than Brian Jordan was. You know, and Jordan played both sports. Yeah, had a little success at both, but nothing that's going to pop out. You know, we just went through the last dance is finally over, and, you know, obviously Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player that ever lived. Sorry, LeBron fans, it just doesn't cut it. Michael Jordan is the best, but he was a horrible baseball player. You know, so, I mean, you kind of look at it. And then, I mean, if you really start to think about it, imagine any of these guys trying to get on skates and play in a hockey game.
Yeah, that's not happening.
You know, now, do we count dual sport athletes who did boxing and MMA? Because I know, like, James Toney did a few MMA fights, but I think he got his brains beat in. So I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, but, I mean, even that, I mean, you know, these guys who try to cross over between the two just don't really succeed.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's difficult to change up. And, I mean, that's one of the things, I mean, when we look at Bo Jackson, you know, and I mean, obviously, if you go way back, I mean, you can find Jim Thorpe, who had success at multiple. That was even before Schomburg Stu may have been alive. That's how long ago that was. So we're going way back there. But I mean, Bo Jackson, the more you look and you think about it, I mean, this guy was just incredible. That does kind of lead me to a humorous point, and I want to get your opinion on this. You know, I mentioned we did The Last Dance. They did the 10-part series on, you know, I would say more Michael Jordan than the Chicago Bulls, but however you want to look at it, okay. And obviously one of the points we just brought up was the fact that Michael Jordan went and played baseball for a few years. Humorously, Dan, and I think this may have been more out of jealousy than anything, LeBron James actually came out and said that while the NBA was on strike in 2011, he could have played in the NFL, and he actually did have an offer from Jerry Jones. You know, LeBron's a great athlete. I'm guessing he probably would have been a solid tight end until somebody ripped his head off tackling him. It would have been interesting to see how he would have reacted to that. So I don't know. I did hear some idiot come out, and I don't remember who it is, but actually said that if LeBron would have played football, he would have been the greatest of all time. So obviously this sports, whatever sports writer or sports personality it was who said that, has zero grasp of reality. But now, you know, what do you think? I mean, you know, LeBron 6'8", 240, 250 at the time. Does he make it as a tight end, or is the sport just too rough for him?
I think the king of flops, it would be too rough for him. You know, and I don't doubt, because I did read that he was actually training with somebody, and I don't doubt that. You know, Russell Wilson has had the opportunity to go. Granted, he was also drafted by, I forgot, was it the Yankees or the Rangers. I believe he's actually gone to spring training and, you know, done some stuff, which, I mean, if I'm the owner of the Rangers or the Yankees, I thought he got traded to the Yankees.
He did.
You know,
drafted
way,
by the Rangers.
You know, yeah, you know, if I'm a Steinbrenner or a Rangers owner and Russell Wilson calls me up, and I know he has absolutely no intention of playing, just the way the game is this year, and it's April, and he's got, you know, nothing to do. I'm going to say, oh, yeah, you know, come on down. You can, you know, take some ground balls, do some batting practice, going to get some good publicity and, you know, all that good stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't go out on a limb and say that he's going to be the, you know, the greatest thing to happen to baseball, though. You know,
well,
I think he'd have
he
a good, you know, he, yeah, you know, I mean, put him on the right is it right field where you got to have a good arm? You know, put him out in right field, then, you know, put that arm to the test because he's got to have the accuracy. But, you know, I defensively, I think he could definitely perform. I don't know how he would do at the plate, seeing as, you know, Tim Tebow didn't start crushing Max Scherzers and stuff like that after his first at bat. Oh, what a surprise, right? So, but, you know, I don't doubt that LeBron could have handled himself in camp, you know, because they don't put on pads or anything and they don't tackle. But, you know, once he got onto a real football game, I don't know that he'd survive in the era he's in. And, I mean, let's be flat out honest. How stupid would he have been if he would have gone that far?
Yeah.
He could have literally, ruined his entire NBA career if he had gone into the NFL with one injury.
Yeah, here, I can help you out with some of this stuff here, Dan. Russell Wilson was actually drafted in 2007 by the Orioles but didn't sign. It was the Rockies who ended up drafting him in 2010.
Wow.
So he started with Colorado, and he actually played parts of two seasons in their minor leagues. He was a second baseman at low A in 2010. He played in 32 games and hit .230. The next year in A ball, he played 61 games and hit .228. So definitely hitting was going to be an issue for him. You know, when you scuffle at that level in the minors, you know, that kind of carries with you. Now, as a fielder, he was very good. He had in the two seasons, he had a .983 fielding percentage. Which is really solid. Only made seven errors over two seasons, so he definitely could, you know, could play the defense. It just, you know, wasn't, and no surprise here. He stole 19 bases in 2 years. So, but yeah, just not much of a hitter.
No, and then, to be honest, that's kind of what I was. Isn't that kind of what I said? I think he would be great in the out, you know, as a defensive, but when it comes to the plate. I mean, Tim Tebow is still doing his thing, and he's struggling at the plate, but I'm not going to knock him. Definitely in a better place than us.
Here's what I'm guessing is a little-known fact about Russell Wilson. His middle name is Carrington. So I did not know that.
I thought you were going to tell us that he's related. That means he's related to somebody.
No, I'm just thinking it's kind of a humorous middle name. And, you know, the first thing that popped into my head was Dynasty, because I believe that was the lead family on the evening soap opera Dynasty, was the Carrington family. So there you go. That I just didn't know that about Russell Wilson. His middle name is Carrington. You know, so, yeah, it just kind of, you know, again, always kind of makes me chuckle when, you know, I hear those people kind of, well, you know, he's a NASCAR driver, he couldn't do this, or he's a golfer, he couldn't do this. Yeah, well, I'm sure we've all seen Charles Barkley play golf, so, you know, we got to be a little bit careful about trying to compare athletes and eras. And, I mean, I'm no surprised at all, Dan, that it was the Cowboys that offered LeBron a spot, because, I mean, this is right up Jerry Jones's alley, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny. You would think that LeBron could have just gone and knocked on the Browns. Were they around then? Was that before they came back?
Yeah. Well, if you remember, you know, like, humorously, LeBron has come out and said that he's a Yankee fan and a Cowboy fan. So there's he has no affiliation to the Cleveland sports teams other than the fact that they were bad while he was growing up. You know, I know the Indians put together a couple of good seasons, but the Browns have been bad for so long that, you know, it's no surprise that he doesn't, you know, he didn't root for them. But, yeah,
well,
so he's said all along that he's a Cowboy fan.
From what I understand, though, is he's closer to he grew up closer to Pennsylvania, so kind of
yeah,
a Yankee fan.
Yeah. You know, and if you remember when he, you know, when they needed that extended time off at the All-Star break because he wanted to spend it with his family. One of the things he did was he went to a bowl game in Cowboy Stadium, and Jerry Jones put him in the owner's box.
I didn't know that.
Well, I have, you know how I am with that stupid memory about these things. So,
yeah.
You know, that's just one of those things that I remember. Why, I have no idea. Don't ask me what I had for lunch, but I can remember LeBron, you know, complaining about needing more time off to spend with his family and then, you know, going to Dallas to watch a bowl game. So.
And then hanging out with Dwayne Wade in Miami.
Yeah, you know, that's just the, again, the stupid stuff I remember. I don't know why. But, you know, the other interesting thing, and I really wanted to get your opinion on this one. I don't know if you've heard this one yet, but Tom Glavine came out today, and he mentioned, you know, the possibility that we might not get a baseball season. And he just kind of flat went out and said that if there is no baseball season, the players are going to get all the blame and not the owners. Do you buy that, or how do you kind of look at the situation? I mean, I'm hoping they work something out, but again, there's always a chance they won't. You know, are you you know what? How do you hand out the blame?
You know, I think it'll. You know, honestly, I mean, I think it'll be 50-50. But no, I think the players will get the blame. You know, because of guys like I'm looking at right now on my souvenir cup from Tampa. Like, it's Snellzilla or Blakezilla, whatever it is. Oh, Cyzilla. There we go. I don't know how he got that nickname. Did he win a Cy Young?
Yes.
Okay. So that's probably where he got the nickname. But, you know, I think that's part of it. And, I don't know. You know, the owners, they do make a lot of money, but they also put up a lot of money, and there's a lot that goes into it. So it's not like, you know, while they make it, you know, they might net $50 million a year, that doesn't also always reflect everything they have to pay, you know. And it's not like 100% of that money goes in their pocket. You know, now I'm starting to really sound like one of those business guys. But, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, a few years ago when I worked in the salon, and this is the best example I can give, you know. The employees all had this accountant who, so when you work in a salon, you know, just say your haircut's $25, the owner takes $5 off the top. It's a service charge. It's a fee, you know, for equipment, you know, everything that the operating costs. You know, ordering products, paying the water bill, the electricity, the rent, that comes off the top. And then, you know, now you're left with $20. And generally, if you're in a smaller salon atmosphere, depending on your agreement, you know, you'll 50-50 that. So you get $10 a haircut off of $25, right? So what the accountant was doing was expensing that $5 off of every haircut or, you know, whatever your service was. So the employees that would track every single service they did, the accountant would write off those expenses. But, you know, once Trump came in, it's not as easy to do that because of, you know, the standard deductions. But so they were doing that, and everyone got mad at me when I came in. And I was like, no, you can't do that. That's actually illegal. No, it's not. You know, it's my money. I go, well, technically it's not. This is an agreement between you and the owner. And at the end of the day, you're not paying those expenses. So if you need gloves, you need color, you need electricity, you're not paying for all that. He's paying for all that. So you cannot expense that because it's his expense. And then, you know, on the side note, just an FYI, if one of you, just one person gets audited, that means the entire staff for that location and the other two locations will be audited by the IRS too. Oh, how do you know that? Because I worked for a company that was audited, and it was not fun. We had to sit through hours of IRS meetings. You know, IRS came to our you know, businesses, and we had to sit through meetings with them. So I'm like, it's not, you know, I was told, oh, your opinion. I'm like, this is from the IRS. This is not my opinion. And, you know, so, and that's where I think a lot of things get miskewed, where the quote-unquote little guy compared to the big guy, you know, things get lost in translation because we don't always understand what's on the other side of it, you know. We tend to look at only ourselves. And, you know, and when you, if you start digging into the players' CBA, right? Is it CBA, right? Collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
When you start reading into that, if you actually take the time and read it, your mouth will be on the floor if you actually understand all the amenities that each and every one of these players receive on top of their multi-million dollar contracts like Sizilla will get. You know, so, I mean, you have to remember maybe in the early days of the game, the team may have provided a bus and you probably had to shack up with, you know, some of the guys, you know, some of the other players. But today, I don't think you get the super suites, but when a player's on the road, they are basically treated like royalty. You know, the team, the owner, on top of having to pay their salary, has to pay their travel expense, you know, however they get to you know, from Chicago to Washington, let's just say. The owner pays the expense to get the players there. The owner pays for everything when they get there, all their food, the whole nine. They pay for everything. I don't know if they pay for extracurricular activities, but let's just say a group of players go out together. That most likely can be considered a business expense. And while the owner can write that off, technically, he still has to pay for it. You know, if the entire team goes out to – you remember hearing about this with the NBA. You know, the entire team would go out to the movies together. Well, you know, let's just say it's Kevin LeBron and, you know, and all and his team, not his super friends. You know, say LeBron and the Lakers go out to the movies in a restaurant. You know, LeBron could put that on his credit card and then give the receipt to, you know, Jack Nicholson, or I'm being a smart ass, but, you know, the owner of the Lakers, be like, here, give me my money. I took the team out, you know. Give me the money back. I'll pay my credit card. You get to write it off. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. So when you actually take the time to read into the collective bargaining agreement, you really start to feel less and less sympathy for the, especially the high contract players. You know, the sympathy goes down to the minor leaguers and things like that. So, you know, I think that's in part where Tom Glavine's right. You know, if the season doesn't happen, it's going to fall onto the players. Because I think at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, you know, whether the owners like it or not, they're always going to be, you know, Mr. Monopoly, you know, the greedy guy at the top. And side note, they're supposed to make a Mrs. Monopoly, and I think it's funny because, you know, they're like, oh, it's sexist to have the man on the game. But it's actually mocking, you know. It's not telling you how great men are. We're actually, Monopoly's actually mocking them. So that one just cracks me up. It has nothing to do with sex. You know, sometimes this that part of it needs to, you know, you need to read, you know, understand where that comes from.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where the owners will always be the bad guy at the end of the day. So I think Glavine's correct. You know, it kind of will fall on the blame of the players if the season doesn't happen. Did I ramble on too much?
Yeah. No. You know, he makes the interesting point of kind of reminding players to be careful not to talk about their pay, which is obviously the gigantic mistake good old Blake Snell made, because, you know, he just immediately turned everybody to hatred towards him because of just, you know, his own stupidity. You know, but in this case, You know, I think the owners may have a little bit more of a point than normal, because if you think about it, they're losing a crap ton of money right now. You know, they're paying players.
Oh, yeah.
There's no games. They have no revenue coming in. Obviously, you know, especially as an accountant, I believe the first thing they teach you is money going out with no money coming in is bad for business.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, you know, and even though, you know, these guys are well off, they can handle it. But to be fair, the A's just missed their rent payment. Their rent payment was $1.2 million, and they missed it. You know, and they've always been kind of a smaller market. If you've seen Moneyball, you know they run on a different kind of budget than a lot of the big teams do. So it's, you know, it's kind of an odd situation. And, yeah, I think they can't get this worked out and we can't get a season going. You know, the players are, you know, it's really going to be looked on as, you know, the players made this happen. You know, and I know, okay, maybe they don't want to do the 50-50 revenue split. There's ways to work that out, you know, in mediation. It shouldn't be that big a deal. You know, I know they kind of talked about prorated salaries based on the number of games played. You know, in reality, that's fair. I mean, if I don't work, I don't get paid for it. You know, if you don't work, you don't get paid. I mean, if, you know, you got to show up to do your job, you're still going to make a boatload of money, you know, regardless of if you take a little less this year. But, you know, Dan, I brought up something in the blog today, and I hope everybody gets a chance to swing over there at sportstimeradio.com and read it. And, you know, I would love to get their comments on it. But I'm interested to see, you know, what you think or how you look at this. What I don't think the certain players are realizing, you know, the Bryce Harpers, the Manny McCullers, the guys like Blake Snell, who have these long-term deals and they're all locked up and they're going to get their money. Dan, if I'm in the last year of my contract, I want this season going and I want it going now, because I need the owners to make money. Because think about it, Dan, if you're Mookie Betts and you're sitting there waiting to go play for the Dodgers, and you know that you're the number one free agent coming up this offseason, and you were looking at possibly getting a contract in the neighborhood of $3 million, I got bad news for Mookie Betts. If they don't get this going, he ain't getting that money.
No.
You know, and these are the guys it's really going to affect. And I don't know, like when Blake Snell started shooting off his mouth, or, you know, Bryce Harper kind of backed him up without really going public about it. I don't know if they thought about their other union brothers there, which is something the union always preaches, is, you know, talking, worrying, you know, taking care of your brothers, worrying about your brothers. You can probably ask your father about that. He'll tell you the whole deal.
Yeah.
There. And I don't think they realized what they were shooting off, because the less games we play and the more money the owners can claim they lose is just going to roll over in the next off season. And yes, we're going to have to listen to the union complain, well, you know, they're colluding against free agents. But Dan, now they're going to have all these books where they can go, look, we lost this much money last year as a league.
Mm-hmm.
We lost $4 billion. How do you expect me to lay out $300 million over 10 years when this could happen again? Or maybe we haven't solved the crisis yet. You know, if there's no vaccination and, you know, there's the possibility of us going through all this next year, how do you expect me to lay out all this money? And I don't think, well, I guarantee you Blake Snell didn't think that through, because let's just face it, he's a moron.
So,
that, and I would love to know where he studied English, because if you go back and watch that Twitch video, it's almost no English structure to it. So I was really confused by that. But, you know, I don't know. Do you think we're gonna see this in the off season? And I use Mookie Betts as my example, because he's the only guy I can think of thought of going into free agency.
Well, and that's kind of a million-dollar question too, Big Jack, is if this season doesn't get underway at all, or, you know, even half a season. I forget what accrued time is. You know, if they don't accrue enough time, then he won't qualify for a full season. You know what I'm saying? So does that mean he would be under, you know, still under terms with the Dodgers for a second half of the season next year? But even that, if they don't, you know, that's another thing that the entire league has to take into account. And I'm wondering if that's part, well, aside from waiting on the governors of every state, you know, you take that into account, how does that get structured out? You know, like you said, if they get prorated contract, prorated pay for 2020, then I think the contract will still continue on, you know, in its regular form going forward. But at the same time, if we don't get a season in, what does that mean for a guy? Like, what does that mean for the entire league? You know, is Mookie Betts a Dodger in 2021? And then
how
the other part of it.
Brian didn't get that, you know, after he did all that to get free agency and had to wait.
Yeah, well, you know, and not only that, Big Jack, you know, we have a great governor here. You know, he's hiding in Florida because he's afraid, you know, whatever. So that's another topic. But if baseball's allowed to go on like NASCAR is, with no fans, there's another revenue drop. So you know, it's not just the ticket sales; it's the everything. You know, merchandising, concessions, and granted, you know, all that's you know, that's the concessions are sold out to groups, but then you're talking about the advertising. You know, I know for the White Sox last year, some kind of plumbing company, you know, 800 plumbers or, you know, it's something like that. I forget the name of it. Every bathroom I went into, that sign was everywhere. You know what I mean? There's no fans going to a game. I'm 800 plumbers or whatever. I'm not going to give you money. You know, why would we be giving you money?
Right.
Advertising money? We're not advertising to anybody. You know, and then
money they'll have is TV money coming in.
Yeah, and then you think about that. So you'll get your TV money, but you don't get that money from the advertising in-house. So, and the naming rights, too. You know, if I have a naming right contract with Major League Baseball, let's just go with the White Sox because it's probably, you know, close to home. I'm guaranteed great stadium. Granted, that sign's up there all year, but don't I get a credit on you know, my term? Don't I get an extra year when it comes to that advertising?
I would want something.
Yeah, you know, and that's the one thing that, you know, when you're a Blake Snell coming out here and running your mouth, I want my money. I'm sorry, number one, you're already making a hell of a lot more money than I will in my lifetime. So I don't feel sorry for you. The fact that you've got your, you know, your Twitch account going and you're playing video games and crying you're not playing. Well, you know, you could find a hell of a lot more ways to make some additional income aside from driving Uber or Lyft. You know, you've got the advertising. And not only that, you know, the White Sox, and this is kind of just because it's close to home, and my, you know, I have family members that kind of work with, you know, whatever. You know, the White Sox just took the outfield. They added the Goose Island Club, right? I mean, this thing's never really super populated because it's the White Sox, no knock on the team. It's just the way it is, thanks to the owner. But all that money goes into the Goose Island Club. There's no one sitting in it. Yeah, you'll see it on TV, but again, I'm the Goose Island people. I want some credit back. You know, I want a half a season or another season added on to keep that my name out there without pay. You know, without having to pay you since I didn't really get that revenue stream for this year. You know, so there's a lot more that goes into it, and that, you know, that's the thing that I'm not going to say the players, but you know, the guys like Zilla, who are going to come out and say that, you know, there's 100 more things. All you have to worry about is keeping in shape, going to spring training, you know, things like that. I'm sorry, but that's a hell of a lot easier, and it's a hell of a lot more fun. I mean, Big Jack, tell me the truth. You know, 30, you know, 300, no, I'm just kidding. You know, 15 years ago when you were a Ute, trying out for the Pirates, you know, kind of where would you want to be? Would you rather be the player who, you know, kind of goes town to town, does, you know, all you got to do is maintain your shape, you know, keep healthy in the off season? It's a hell of a lot easier job than, you know, what the owners have to go through. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here and baby the owners at the same time, because, you know, they knew what they were getting into. And fortunately for a lot of them, you know, it's daddy's money to begin with. So we know that really here in Chicago, you know, talking to the Bears. But you know how that goes. So there's a lot that goes into it. And when it comes down to it, when you're the player, I'm sorry, but you've kind of got it on easy street, except for the fact that you're going to be harassed by fans and media and things like that. But, you know, take it how it is. You'd just be glad that, I think, going from this season forward, the most positive thing for players that's going to come out of it is I don't think we'll ever have media back in the locker rooms, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. So,
no.
You know, that's just fine. So I don't have an issue for that. You know, can you just imagine the crying we'll get then? Oh, God, now we've got to cover games that go 3 hours and we can't get stories. Oh, God, no. So.
Yeah, we have to be at the park at 11:30 for a 1:20 start, and then we don't get to leave until, you know, we don't even get access to the players till 4 o'clock, 4:30. Well, no, 5:30. You know, God forbid we have to work a full 8-hour day. Jeez.
God, no. That's why I got into this business, so I wouldn't have to work a full 8-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
So, jeez. But yeah, it's, you know, it's gonna be, you know, kind of interesting to see how this plays out. And, you know, like today I heard a lot of the players are upset because, you know, of the new structure that's been put in with this virus. You know, they don't want players to shower at the facility. They want you to wait till you get home. So, you know,
wow.
No showers, no, you know, no sauna, no whirlpool, no, you know, cryovac chamber or whatever, you know, new wave things the teams have going on now. And apparently this is a big issue with the players. And, you know, I understand why they're doing it. I mean, it's for complete safety because, you know, that's probably one of the easier ways to get this thing to spread. I mean, could you imagine the team in the shower after a game and one guy doesn't know he's got it? All of a sudden you've got a whole team with the coronavirus.
Yeah, but I mean, with that being said, though, how different is that to the opening of the regular season a couple of years back when the entire Red Sox team was just knocked with the flu?
Yeah, well, you know, and it's really the same thing. You know, except, you know, we know how to kill the flu. You know, we know how to make the flu go away. We don't know how to make this go away yet.
Yeah,
so.
Yes and no. I mean, everything they're doing. So, you know, it's here and there. But, I mean, like you said, I could see that being upsetting to the players. And, you know, but that would be, I don't know.
But
what is the
regulation? Should it really be the big issue that it is? You know, is
no,
that really something they, you know?
Yeah, you know, but at the same time, you know, we're trusting that, you know, when you go home, yeah, I think you'll be safer to shower in that. But when you're on the road, I mean, yeah,
well,
the Hyatt
remember,
and all those.
The way it's going, there really isn't going to be any on the road because we're looking at playing in set location, so there may not be a lot of travel.
Yeah, but that's not going to work out the way they want it to. It's going to be impossible. You know, on the other side of it, though, but I'm not just talking about the rest of this season. You know, this is going to be something that, unfortunately, is going to have to stay in play for, you know, seasons to come. So, you know, how are they going to facilitate that? You know, because...
Yeah.
Well, even if it's in one location, you know, let's just say they're all thrown to Arizona. you know, half the league does not own homes in Arizona. They're going to be holed up in hotels. And while the Hyatts, the Marriotts, and all of them are going to say that, you know, their employees are doing the blah, blah, blah cleans and yada, 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 you know, we still have exposés today on the 2020s and that showing how, you know, the cleaning crew goes from, you know, first floor through the 20th, skipping the magical 13th floor, which never made sense to me. It's just a number. And they're essentially using the same rag in every room. So
what's wrong with that?
You're just transferring everything from, you know, if you're using the same cleaning supply, you know, in room one that was infected, now you just infected every single room. And you can't BS me and tell me that every hotel is going to mandate and make sure and enforce that their cleaning staff has individual set cleaning supplies for every single room in that hotel. Impossible.
You don't think they'll do that?
That will be no. That
not even
be
the
a
nicer
part
hotel.
Of, no, that would be a part of helping bankrupt the hotel industry. You know, oh, well, here's the solution. Just use UV rays. Oh, yeah, that'll work.
To be fair, they probably couldn't get all those cleaning supplies if they wanted them. Because they're just
And, you know, there's that factor.
So, you know, because I don't know if you've looked for cleaning supplies, but they're hard to come by.
Yeah, we actually got a bottle of bleach. I was surprised. I understand that the president wasn't literal in that sense.
Yeah. Well, there were people who took him seriously, so you have to be careful. I just want to make sure you were well.
Yeah, well, you know, fortunately, I understand how to use my brain. but, you know, kind of going with all that, with everything that's going on the way it is, it's almost like players' fault or not, I just think at this point they might as well just call the season.
Yeah. So, well, you know, if the players drag this out long enough, you know, if their union drags it out long enough, that's what's going to happen. You know, it's just going to be, you know, too late to – because, like, you know, to me, 82 games is going to be rough. You know, I don't buy that as a way to get yourself an actual champion, but I understand, you know, again, the owners want to get some kind of revenue coming in. You know, it's just like the NBA and the NHL trying to come back. You don't want to give up that TV money. You know, that's your lifeblood. You want to make sure you get that coming in. But, yeah, I mean, the longer the players and their union drag this out, just the less it's gonna, you know, the less sense it's gonna make for them to even bother coming back. So, but you know, we'll see what they can work out. You know, Dan, do you know what the transfer rate of the won is to the American dollar, or the won, W-O-N?
Daddy. No, I have no clue.
Daddy. Yeah, well, apparently for 100 million won, it is $81,454.45. The only reason I know this, Dan, is because the South Korean K-League fined the FC Seoul team a record 100 million won for putting sex dolls in the stands.
Oh,
have you seen the videos of this?
No, the articles I read didn't actually show pictures of what happened. But I did get a giant kick out of it.
Yeah, I mean, what's funny is, like, they have them spaced apart, and they did put masks on them, because if you've ever seen a sex doll, you understand what their mouths look like. So they did cover up their mouths so it didn't look, you know, that you didn't have to show that. I thought it was a hilarious move on the team's part, but you know, with the society we live in today, there were so many people taking offense to it, and oh my God, I can't believe they did that. What about, it's like that one Simpsons episode where the one lady's whole line is, what about the children, no matter what's going on? So I was just like, really? Well, like, give me a break. But yeah,
yeah,
it's gonna cost you, you know, a little less than $82,000.
Wow. Well, don't forget about the fact though that pornography is banned in South Korea.
Oh, I didn't know it was South Korea. I just thought it was the North that did that kind of stuff.
No, apparently it's, you know, you're in the South, you're allowed to view the world. You just can't accept it. You know, I don't know. Don't quote me on that. So, you know, cause that was the first article I read, and I kind of dying laughing when I, of course, caught the headline and then, you know, understanding what they were upset about. So, yeah, that was the bigger reason was, you know, it's banned there. And then supposedly the mannequins had some kind of advertisements, you know, on the dolls themselves.
Well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah. You know, I was just wondering, how they got access to all that.
I did, somebody pointed out that apparently, and obviously I don't know if this is in South Korea, but apparently here where you and I live in good old America, that sales of sex dolls is way up during this crisis.
Well, you know, I guess.
Yeah, I personally have not purchased one. I don't know anybody who has, not that I talk to that many people, but, you know, I guess whatever gets you through the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
No.
You know, I don't think Bert Abrams would have done that, or did I say his name right?
Herb.
Herb. Oh, close.
Yeah. So, you know, just one of those you know, one of those things. But, yeah, I recorded the last night was the season finale of Dark Side of the Ring, so I haven't watched it yet. Did you check
no.
it out because it's Owen Hart? Yeah.
No, I haven't watched it yet. Probably
yeah, I usually
out.
Save it,
like
weekend, you know, weekend or something. So I'll have to see how that goes there. But while we did bring up – or I guess technically I did bring up wrestling. Sadly, I don't know if you heard this story, Dan, but they had that wrestler in California who was, you know, got caught up in the riptide with his 10-year-old son. He wrestled by the name of Shad Gaspar. I don't know what his real name was. They were able to rescue his son along with quite a few other people. Unfortunately, they never rescued the father, and his body floated up on shore today. So they did eventually find him. Obviously, he was passed away. He was in the water a couple days. So that's kind of sad. You know, he wasn't a huge star in WWE, but he was in that kind of time. And, you know, they were kind of humorous. They brought some humor to the shows when, you know, it was, you know, all real serious and, you know, the ruthless aggression and, you know, everything was dead on, you know, I'm going to kill you type of thing. They brought some fun to it and, you know, they were a solid team, so, you know, it's, you know, too bad. And then obviously he leaves a 10-year-old son behind, which, you know, is the worst part about the story. But, yeah, that just kind of a sad thing there. And, you know, I don't know a lot about Rip Current, but I've heard, you know, a lot of the stuff I see on the Weather Channel, they talk about it, and it's apparently pretty bad stuff if you get caught in it.
Yeah, it sucks you underwater. Well, from what I was told was you could be standing on what you think is solid ground, but, you know, it's sand. And the riptide just pulls that sand out from underneath you and just sucks you out. And if, you know, you're supposed to swim with the current, not against, or, you know, swim with it, not against it. So essentially if you're facing, you know, the shore, you're not towards the shore. You kind of continue going with the tide to save yourself. But, you know, even though I know that, does that mean I would survive it? I don't know how to swim really, so you know, there's that part of it too. But yeah, I mean, you know, it kind of, I think now that I'm older and, you know, like you said, having the 10-year-old and then being so close to my age, it, it hits a little, it hits you, hits hard home when I read that this morning. I just couldn't place him. So what tag team was he part of? I remember
Prime
the name
time.
And Prime Time. I'd have to go back. I'd have to do a little bit more research.
It was kind of the old school style setup where there was the smaller guy and the larger guy, and he was the larger muscular guy in the tag team.
Yeah, I remember the name. I remember the name and all that, but I just couldn't place his face when I saw it.
So, yeah, that was kind of terrible story. Unfortunate that it had to happen, you know, as young as he was.
Yeah, sadly, back in 2009, I was out in Virginia Beach, and, you know, this is one of the things, you know, don't go in the water when there's no lifeguards because they can't help you when they're not working. We went out to dinner, and when we were coming back to our hotel, it was a long strip down there in Virginia Beach, and you access it at one point, and we were at the very end of the hotel chains and the boardwalk they had. And as we were entering to go start our trek down there, the ambulance, emergencies were there. And, you know, so we found out someone drowned. And as we got to our hotel at the end, so she was, you know, 100 yards or more away, they found her in front of our hotel, actually.
Oh,
so it was pretty sad, you know. And then my sister and brother-in-law that had kids there, they locked the kids in the room. You know, they didn't want them to, you know, really understand, you know, witness what was going on. Because, I mean, you know, the ambulance was literally in front of our hotel. And then you've got those jackasses who, you know, it's one thing to kind of inquire about what's going on. But, you know, with the ambulance sitting there, people were coming up to the ambulance and like peeking through the window. I'm like, some people, I just don't get that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure that was happening when they found Shad today too.
Well, maybe not so much for him, because I guess they found him, like, I guess he woke up at like 1:30 in the morning, according to reports. So,
Happened to my cousin, but it was in a boating accident. So.
Well, yeah, like I said, unfortunately, these things kind of happen. He hadn't wrestled since 2010, hadn't been in the WWE since 2010. I don't know if he did the indie thing or anything. So. He was in LA because he had some small TV roles, and he makes an appearance on that Kevin Hart comedy, Get Hard. I never saw it, but I read the reviews, and apparently it wasn't very good. But he appeared, you know, he's got a small role in that, and a thing a lot of wrestlers try to do after their career ends in WWE, you go try to be an actor. So
yeah, well, you've got the experience. So.
You know, we'll have to who does it next. But while you're there, follow the link over to the Facebook page. If you want to give that a like, but don't forget to do it for you, which is at Sports Punk Radio. And I'm not out there on Twitter as well if you'd like to look at what we're cool with that. And hey, if you stop on this too long, thank you very much for doing that. That is greatly appreciated. And if you did miss us and you want to listen, just head on over to tunein.com, and hey, you can do that anytime you want.
TuneIn or SportsTimeRadio.com.